looking for the hottest news out of the obstacle racing scene? Want to stay up to date on the freshest info, the latest podiums, and hear interviews with the who's who in OCR? Well, you've come to the wrong place. Well, some of that you'll find here. But we're not the media. This is not ORM, OCM, OCRM, ORCM. This is OCR Talk.
Hello, this is Jason Dupree.
And I'm Anna Landry.
And thank you for listening to OCR Talk. This is episode number 39. 39 because of the three episodes that we did while at NORAM that we did live-ish with me and Mark Duplessis and April and several other people at times. Unfortunately, no Anna.
Unfortunately. Womp womp. I was here working.
Was that, I know you had the grit games like what the weekend before, was that part of the reason or?
Yeah, that was part of the reason. That and grit games was the week before. And then I figured like logistically with the move and everything, and I'm already traveling like at once a month right now for races. So I kind of had to pick and choose. And since I had already committed to the grit games, that was kind of my commitment for August. So that was that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I actually tried jumping into a Rugged Maniac over here in Denver, but that didn't happen because I had to work. So, you know, it is what it is. I was really looking forward to it though, because like afterwards, whenever I went out to, we went out to eat for lunch and everybody was wearing Rugged Maniac shirts because the venue was actually not far from me. It was like maybe 20 minutes away from where I live. I was having serious FOMO all weekend. All weekend long.
That is unfortunate, but as we've said many times, you know, we do have lives outside of OCR.
Gotta pay for this inexpensive hobby.
You won't be able to make it to World's Toughest if you
don't. Oh gosh, yeah.
Well, thinking ahead, 2020.
Yeah.
You know, if you can only do so many races in a year, which I know from that is the case for myself.
Yeah.
Especially now, what is top three races for the year? Have you thought that far ahead yet?
Yeah, so I'm really wanting to go to NORAM just to get the experience, you know,
because you haven't done it yet, right?
I really haven't done it. I've just been living vicariously through my friends.
And you also haven't done OCRWC before it went overseas,
right? Yeah, I really regret that because now I'm like, come back so I don't have to go overseas. But you never know. I mean, I don't know. You never know. Who knows?
But you also didn't do when it was the U.S.
No,
race
I didn't.
In Kerrville.
Whenever
right?
It was in Texas, no.
Man, you really have missed out.
I
on
have.
Those.
Adulting sucks, man.
All right. Well, just, you know, that's the priority for next year. So.
Yeah. I really want to get in on races that I've missed out on, previously missed out on. So, you know.
In all honesty, if you had to make the choice and say, you know, I normally do these X races, I'm going to skip those this year and use that money towards NORAM, it's completely worth it. Absolutely 100%.
I believe it. I've only heard good things about those events, and really, like, if I can make it happen and go overseas next year, that would be pretty amazing, and like make a little family vacation out of it. That would be really cool because none of us have really been overseas, or at least that we can remember, you know. So
yeah, and we're not sure where exactly it'll be next year, you know, not yet, at least
not yet, we'll see. But they're getting ready to ramp up for a race, huh?
Yeah, it's so funny coming back from NORAM and like the next week seeing all these emails about needing volunteers and, you know, it's still time to qualify. It's like, wait, I just did that race. Yeah. Oh, yeah, right.
Which I've qualified every year to go to NORAM, but I just never went. Just wasn't in the cards.
Well, one of the top priority. What's second?
I don't know. I haven't decided yet. Have not decided yet.
I feel like I start trying to plan the next year earlier and earlier every year.
Yeah, and I think that's really because a lot of these races, as soon as their event is over for this year, they're already, if the venue is secured, they're already promoting it for next year. And it really does make more financial sense to sign up for it as soon as it opens, because it's so much cheaper if you can manage it and, you know, whatever your job might be, you know, request a time off for it and everything else like that. Most people are just like, well, I'll sign up for it and we'll see, we'll see what happens with my work schedule, you know, but, but yeah, it totally makes sense. Like the Rugged Maniac here, I had registered for it and everything thinking that I was going to be able to go, and I ended up not being able to go. So I just deferred till next year. So that'll be one that I do, but I'm just, you know, it's not like one of those races where I'm like, yeah, Rugged Maniac next year. But I haven't done one of their races, so I am kind of looking forward to it.
Yeah, they definitely look fun, and I'm kind of in the same boat where it's like, I want to do one, but there aren't any nearby, so
right.
I probably won't.
Yeah, and for me, it's, I mean, the venue's right past, you know, Red Rocks, so it's like 20 minutes away from me, so why not? But that would probably be my goal next year, is just to kind of like explore my new area and like get into stuff around here. I have kind of put out into the universe that I really want to do the Leadville Marathon next year. Not the 100 miler, but the marathon, which would, you know, I completely swore off road marathons, but that would be.
Oh yeah, a trail marathon is, I mean.
Yeah, a trail marathon.
I wouldn't even call it a marathon.
Like,
just call
Leadville,
it a trail.
And it's Leadville. I mean, it's like runner's mecca.
So is that one of the out and backs, or is that a like point to point race?
I think it might be an out and back.
Loop?
I'm not sure. I haven't dug into it that far, to be honest with you. I just know that I didn't want to like be really brazen and commit to the 100, because I've never done a 100 miler. And I'm like, the marathon, yeah, that sounds good.
Well, I know we've talked about it in the past about doing 100.
Yeah.
And, you know, that being a possibility. Do you not feel like next year is the year?
Maybe. Possibly. you know, I have that friend back in Louisiana, Edie, who's a race director for the Lugaroo Trail Run and the Red Dirt Ultra. I was really honestly looking at going back in December and checking out her Lugaroo race again, because last year I only did the 20 miler because it was a few weeks after World's Toughest. I don't know. I might go back to Louisiana and see if maybe I can sign up for maybe the 40 or the 60. We'll see. I have a couple friends that are doing the 100 miler. So, or I don't know if he's still doing it, but he had mentioned that he might want a pacer for the 100 miler if he decides to go through with it. So,
Oh, nice.
So I might just go pace. I don't know.
Well, I definitely am not necessarily interested in going down to Louisiana to do a 100 miler, but if you do happen to do one in Colorado, that would entice me a bit more.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm definitely going to be doing that, like checking out what's around me locally and like surrounding areas, because like it's a new area. So why not branch out and explore what's around me?
Yeah, and I'm sure there's a bazillion trail races out there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's something going on right now, like almost every weekend. There's actually one of the guys that I work with, he's on the Rotary Club locally, and they're putting on a trail marathon. It's like there's a marathon, a half marathon, 10K and 5K options. So I'm probably going to sign up for that coming up in October, right before Ragnar.
Are you doing a Ragnar?
In October.
In Colorado?
No, not in Colorado.
In Colorado?
In Colorado, there's one coming up at the end of next month, but it's on the same weekend as Toughest. So I didn't realize that. Yeah. A few of the people from Grit Fitness are coming up here and doing a Ragnar together. I was like, oh, man, it's the same weekend as Toughest.
Well, you know, Toughest, that is a race that we can expect, if they still are doing that next year, that it probably won't be at the same place. Like that,
yeah.
You know, it, like we're talking about how races year over year end up being in the same location usually. That's one that you could say, oh, well, if Ragnar is going to be in the same place, I could do it next year because this race is not necessarily going to be the same time, same weekend, yeah, or whatever. Ragnar in Colorado sounds pretty
right?
awesome.
I really want to do one next year.
Well, sign us up.
Let's do it. Which I think they have two Ragnars here in Colorado at different times of the year.
Well, is it?
I think there's one in Aspen.
Two trails, or
I think one of them might be a road.
Probably so. I mean, it seems like it's typically the case. Like Texas has a road and a trail, but the Texas trail one is like towards the end of October, so it's like the same time as either the weekend before or after the Spartan Ultra Beast. So there's usually a lot of stuff going on at the end of the year, right? Yeah. There. So it's not necessarily a great time for me to do it. So whenever the Colorado one is, that could potentially work.
Yeah, I know the Texas Trail Run is the one that I'm doing with the people at Grit Fitness in October. Like some of the guys at Grit have their own team, and then I'm on a team with a few of the ladies.
Nice. When is that? Is it the weekend before the Ultra?
Yeah.
The Spartan mm-hmm. Beast.
Sure is.
Speaking of which, I just signed up a couple days ago for the Spartan Ultra. Nice.
Back in Glenrose?
Yeah.
We got to go back and find that episode. Whenever you were talking about, I probably won't. No, I probably will.
You know, it kind of came down to the fact that Josh Chase offered up a code on Discord for a good price rather than what the price is right now, which is like 300 something bucks. So I was like, okay.
All right, why not?
You know, it's good training for World's Toughest, and I enjoy the race, so why not?
It's a good venue.
My reasoning for not signing up for it in the first place is because I wanted to do Savage, which is at the beginning of October, but since it's at the very end of October, I'm kind of squeezing it in. And
Are you already signed up for Savage?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I might need to let my registration go. I'm just putting it out there.
Okay. Now, I'm only signed up for one day because of the deferral from the last year.
Yeah, that's what mine was from. So.
Okay. Well, if...
So I might defer it to next year.
Well, if you need to unload it, we might could look at, I might use it for the second day.
That's a good idea.
I think
idea.
Mark is coming up here and wanting to do a half marathon that same weekend or something. I'm not really sure.
Crazy.
Anyway, I'll let you know.
That's crazy talk.
No, I was telling him, I'll go do the half marathon with you and then go do Savage.
Yeah. Man, it's an intense training weekend.
Yep. Multi-lap and Savage is always good training.
Oh, yeah. Those are fun. You know, I've never officially, like, formally run a Savage. I've only ran the course. Like, not timed, just for fun. I've only just, like, gone around the course.
What were you there for, then?
I was volunteering with the medical tent.
I remember you telling us about that.
Yeah. Yep. I was running around the festival area, all that kind of stuff, which was a really cool experience. But, yeah, never formally run a Savage.
Well, you'd probably do pretty well, to be honest. I mean, it's tough obstacles, and you know
obstacles look fun. That's why I signed up for one.
And it's smaller crowds, I guess. So
kinda like, doing
like
a
you
CTG.
Would,
yeah,
yeah, you would definitely possibly make podium.
I don't know about that. I've been kind of lazy since I've been here.
You're not hitting all those trails?
I am hitting the trails, definitely. I am totally hitting all the trails.
Oh, you're talking about the upper body?
No, not even that. I don't know. My new work schedule has been crazy. They've got me doing all kinds of crazy stuff. And, just haven't had time to, like, squeeze in the training. And it's just weird, like, you know, adjusting to a new schedule and a new... life pretty much, you know? So it's been like having to find the balance to it all again, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I can understand that.
Plus the altitude's killing me.
Yeah, but you're gonna come back from that and be a super beast.
That's what I keep telling myself as I'm running uphill at like a 11 minute pace. I'm trying not to look at how slow I'm going. Just try and keep telling myself it's all going to pay off eventually.
Well, we've got, you know, a slew of topics, but the funny thing about this is the last episode we did was a couple weeks before NORAM.
Yeah, and before the Grit Games, after the Dallas Stadium. Mm-hmm.
So all this stuff has happened, and our notes are kind of outdated, and new things are happening, so I've thrown some stuff on there, and so we're going to try and do, as we typically do, not just rehash everything that's already been said or people aren't interested in anymore, but we'll try and point out the interesting parts that we find from it. So first off, we did have a review, two reviews in a way, because one of them was not a review on Apple Podcasts, but it was a Facebook recommendation,
okay.
Which I didn't really even know was a thing, but apparently we got one. So,
nice.
So we got an Apple Podcast review from KY Singh, and they said quality and fun, and they gave us 5 stars, and they said, I don't have social media to connect and message. I enjoy the podcast. It's an easy and laid back time. You two are honest and relaxed, which makes it enjoyable to listen to. And the conversation's about real life, real OCR life, and not just about stats and news. Although that's in it from time to time. Thanks and keep it up. Kyle Singer.
Cool.
Pretty awesome. Yeah. Like, yeah, that's what we enjoy doing and chatting. And, you know, if we were entrepreneur Matt B. Davis, then maybe we would have all that stuff. But yeah, we just
like to keep it informal and laid back and just
because that's all we got time for.
Exactly. We have lives. Yeah, just really like squeezing it in when we can. Else, you know.
Yeah, man. I was really wanting to get something out earlier this week, but, you know, just didn't happen. So
it is what it is.
I appreciate that people are appreciative of what we do get out.
Definitely.
The Facebook recommendation is by Nelson Range and says, OCR Talk changed my life. Before I listened to the OCR Talk podcast, something was just missing from my training long runs and general commute time driving around town. That something was informal discussion about OCR happenings in a straightforward and yet still slightly playful approach. If I ever need to know what's generally going on in the OCR world in a non-specific way, I just tune in to the latest OCR talk. The hosts have an inviting style and love hearing their personal exploits as well. Top-notch commentary and conversation in the OCR happenings for the rest of us.
Yay.
Yes, that's us. We are the general sense of things.
We give you a gist of what's happening in the OCR area. General
but to be
area.
To be fair, you know, I listen to some of the other podcasts and I'm like, they don't know the specifics about this topic that they're talking about right now.
Yeah,
I should be on their podcast telling them what to do, but
telling them what's up. No,
but I know that's, you know, sometimes we do the same thing. We're like, I'm not sure.
Yeah,
but I do feel like for the most part, if I talk about a topic, for the most part, we try to get the details.
Yeah,
I think
try to get accurate details ish.
But thanks, Kyle and Nelson. That's really awesome. You guys really appreciate it. Sorry, we didn't get to read these sooner because these were from at least Kyle's was from July 15th. So been a minute since then.
More than a month ago.
Let me double check, make sure this is still the case. But, oh man, this is a topic that I actually didn't put on the notes that we need to discuss. We did get a new supporter, sort of.
Drum roll.
Will Hicks, back again. So I think Will just, you know, gave, like when we first started, Will gave like a one-time gesture, I guess, but he's back as a reoccurring supporter now.
So thanks, Will.
Thanks, Will Hicks. He actually messaged me after we did, me and Mike, not you, unfortunately, did the episode with the NORAM preview.
Yeah.
And was like, he said, I bet you get more listens to that episode than you do, you know, any other ones.
That was a good episode. I liked that.
Thanks. And I think what he is trying to say is that he really appreciated the content that we were putting out there. And obviously with NORAM, you know, it's a big community of people that wanted that information anyway. Mm-hmm. And as far as I could tell, nobody else did that
right.
Like we did. You know, nobody else went through the obstacles and talked about them and gave technique tips.
Yeah.
For that particular race. And man, obviously we got, you know, things we can say about NORAM, but for now, let's try and save that for the moment. But, you know, Will said that, and turns out it got a good number of listens and downloads, mm-hmm. but still not the most. Now, the interesting data that I pulled and looked at here is that the April Fool's episode actually has the most listens overall.
That's probably one of my favorite episodes ever.
Now, when you look at as an episode releases, there's always a spike in people that listen to it right away.
Right.
And then it dies down, and then you might get a trickle of listens, you know, over time. So when you look at it, that spike for the April Fool's episode isn't as high as a few other episodes. Mm-hmm. It's like maybe half the size. But overall, it actually had a longer lifespan in a way.
Nice.
Now, another interesting thing, the second most listened to episode is the first one that we did drinking, the deep discussions across the OCR universe. The one where Enya came in the first place.
Where Enya was born.
Now, I also had some discussions with Will about that, and I know we're not supposed to be using the Enya music, so I have some ideas on way we can get it, not around it, but deal with that, but still play with that idea. So we'll talk about that off topic and bring it back some other time later. For this episode, we'll keep it Enya free. So if you are listening just to hear Enya, you can go ahead and stop now.
Spoiler alert, there's no Enya. Sorry, y'all.
I'll have to find somewhere to put some music, though, because that
take
seems
it up with
just
the guy
fun.
That edits the episodes.
Yeah. But do you enjoy, like, so the NORAM preview that we put in some other tidbits of music, did you enjoy that?
Yeah, it did. That was cool.
Kind of.
It made it different. I don't know.
Okay. Well, I'll find somewhere else to put some more music, like right here. Or right here. There's no real music happening now. I put it in after the fact. But, so just a real quick, third most listened episode is the very first one.
Our very first episode.
Fourth most listened episode, NORAM preview.
Nice.
So he was,
it's still got some time though.
Yeah. Will, I think Will knew what he was talking about.
Yeah.
He seems like a smart dude. We have to give something away. And we also have to talk about this topic in general. Because unfortunately, the way Anchor does their ads, and if you listen to this episode, you may have noticed or think about it now, did you hear an ad at the beginning? Probably not. And the reason being is because I think the ad that we were running for Anchor, like maybe I think we either like hit the amount of money that they allotted for that, or they just had a time frame that they allotted for it. Like that ad is over, so it's no longer playing, and we haven't gotten any other ones. So I don't know if that's something that they're playing with or getting rid of. I'm not entirely sure, so we'll see. But as of right now, the listens that we are getting and all those listens that we got from the NORAM episodes, unfortunately, didn't bring in extra money for giveaways. So we do still have some. So we're going to give away a tank top, and then we'll know for sure what we've got to work with now. But I just want to say, you know, what should we do from here? Like, do we need to reach out to Mug Gear and be like, hey, we need some giveaways?
Or maybe so. That might be an option. Yeah, or giveaways for, we still have the Patreon supporters, or the, what is it?
Well, we still have some supporters on Anchor.
Yeah.
So just not as much income from that, but still some.
Yeah.
So definitely still giveaways. I just hope they don't start getting further and further apart, as opposed to, you know, us being able to do it all the time.
Yeah.
Speaking of which,
Bartley. OCR.
Yes. So Bartley won the last one and got his hat. It took forever for it to get to him because of Canada. And he sent pictures of it, and it looks great. It is a, you know, bright red bill. Did you see the pictures of it?
Mm-hmm. I think it was black and red.
Anyway, it was pretty rad looking. So thanks for sending those, Bartley. It's pretty awesome. And we do need to give away the tank top because summer is getting close to being over. And we want you to have it.
By the time you get it, it may not be.
Well, we've got a handful. Remember, we just said send us a message. So we've actually got quite a bit more entries than other times. Mm-hmm. So this is the most competitive giveaway to date, I would say. But I've got a wheel up ready to go. I've already got the drum roll music from the last time we did this.
Nice.
Or not music, the drum roll sound effect. So I'm going to give it a spin. Ooh, and I can add in a spinny wheel sound effect too.
It'll
sound like it. All right, so here it goes. And it is Spartan Sophia. Did she win the four?
Nice.
Did Sophia just win a second prize? I've got to look back and see. If you're listening, Sophia, which I'm sure you are, you won. Congratulations. I'm sorry. I can't even remember. You're probably yelling at us. No, I didn't. Or yes, I did. Or and you're on the trail, hopefully, yelling into the trees. Let me check my email to confirm. Because I can't remember, was it her or who won the...
The Tumblr or something?
The Tumblr, yes.
Charlotte Engelman.
I think so. I think you're right. So I think maybe this is Sophia's first time.
Yay! After listening and faithfully and participating on Discord. Yep.
So awesome. Sophia, I will contact you and... You will get your choice of color, and then we'll get it ordered and shipped to you. All right. First off, let's just go Spartan first thing.
Okay.
Man, this episode is going to jump around too much, and I don't care for it, but that's okay. What the heck is a Spartan credit card?
Is that like the remember Russell? What was his name? The one that was the FUBU guy.
What?
I remember. A long time ago, he was advertising his own credit card, and it was just like, what? Russell Simmons, that was his name. I knew it was going to come to me. Yeah, I remember, like, infomercials where he was promoting his own credit card, and then, like, that went away. It was really super weird. But that's what it reminds me of.
The reason I bring this up is because we've seen somebody posted something about an email that had an offer for a Spartan credit card.
That's weird.
But I have yet to be able to find details about it.
I did not get that email.
That's what's weirding me out even more. Like,
it may have been a phishing email.
That would be awesome.
Whoever got that email should probably not open any links in that email.
But, you know, like, is that a legit business venture? I mean, if they had a Spartan credit card, what would you get, like, rewards points towards Spartan races or something?
Yeah, that's weird. Reward points towards their merchandise or something. I don't know. That's weird.
Anyway, that's dumb.
Flight points would be good. Airline miles would be good.
Yeah, if it lined up with airlines, too.
Right, yeah.
We're obviously going to your races. Yeah, so, yeah.
Right? That'd be kind of smart.
Shoot, we missed Spartan, Utah. We didn't even talk about that.
Yeah.
That was the race that Lindsay tripped on the guy's rope at the spear.
Oh,
throw,
is that
right?
What happened? Man, Lindsay.
Yeah. Did you get to see that?
No, I didn't. I wanted to watch it.
Oh, man. She ate it so hard.
Oh, that's terrible. Oh, man. That sucks.
And the reason why I put it in the notes is because the sad thing is that the passageway.
Uh-huh.
To get around the people that are throwing spears was really too close. Like anybody like pulling their spear back, you know, if you're running by, you kind of had to watch your head, make sure you didn't knock your head into their spear.
Right.
But obviously first off, who pulls the rope on the, on your side of the fence when you're getting ready to throw anyway, like, You leave it on the opposite side of the fence so that it doesn't get caught on the fence.
Yeah.
Like
somebody was clearly not
an
thinking,
elite racer.
Not thinking very clearly.
Yeah. Elite racer man who's pulling the rope to him instead of leaving it over there. What a dope. No, I'm kidding. Whoever whoever listens to if that guy listens to this, he really, it's really unfortunate situation. It was really more on Spartan and the fact that they had the lane so tiny as it was.
It was just like restrictions of the venue.
The spear itself was kind of on a hill, so you had to throw it up a little higher. So maybe the path right there, you know, there were spectators on the other side of the tape there. So I don't see why they couldn't have made it a little bigger.
Yeah. Unless they were trying to make room for the spectator. I don't know. Who knows?
But the biggest Spartan information is is fresh information is the rule changes.
Yeah. Big rule changes too.
You can carry a bucket however you like. Mm-hmm. It can be on your shoulder,
right,
on top of your head, whatever.
As long as the lid is up or something like that, right?
No. As long as the lid stays
on something. It's, I don't know.
If the lid falls off, the they can't tell you to start over or something like that. Like, it's not specific about.
It's nothing like if all the stuff falls out of it or whatever. Like what happened to Hobie years and years ago.
Right. I need to listen to Scott, I'm a Spartan podcast. He actually did an episode about it.
About the Spartan rule changes.
Yeah. I still haven't checked it out yet.
You are allowed to carry the bucket above the head or on the shoulder during the bucket carry. Also, if the lid comes off, you do not need to restart the obstacle unless material has also been displaced. So if the lid comes off and you...
Keep moving. Hopefully the lid won't come off while you're
holding it upside down. They used to tape them down, though, or something, right? I don't know. It's been a while.
Maybe before they got the bucket, the lids, you know, kind of snap on. So maybe before they got those.
So, yeah, you can carry the bucket however you want. The dunk wall is completely mandatory.
Right. You can't burpee out of it.
Which, I didn't know people were. Well, who was burping?
It was an option, I guess, but yeah, it was kind of silly.
I know they had, remember that really cold Ultra Beast in Glen Rose? They made it an option if you didn't want to get hypothermia.
Yeah, not anymore.
Nope, not anymore. Completely mandatory. So go freeze your butt off. Sorry for you.
I actually took my shirt and my hat. Like, I had, you know, a lot of warm clothes on, so I took all that off to keep it dry.
Yeah.
And there was actually enough space under the wall to the water that I was able to take it with me without getting it soaked.
Yeah.
Which was pretty awesome.
Gosh, that water was so sandy that year. You are considered to have completed the balance beam once you have touched the descending beam with at least 1 foot. So you can't just, like, climb up and then jump off.
Right, and I know I believe it was Josh and Matt who was talking about this, that they didn't quite understand what the concept was here, and maybe I'm wrong, maybe I misheard what they were saying, but this is referring to the balance beam that you see at the stadium race. Now, I don't know if they've got these on the course on normal races, but on the stadium race, it's basically a little wall, like a 4 foot wall, but with a angled 2x4 going up to it and then another one coming down on the other side. So when you're going up and over, you can't just jump across the top, because at first the rule was your foot has to touch the ground past the end of the board, the last board, so which means you could jump off the top of the wall. But in this case, the rule change is saying as long as you touch that last board
with at least 1 foot.
Yeah, so if you touch that last board with a foot, then you've completed it. So it doesn't matter if you fall or if you touch that board, but then touch the ground before the end of the board. Mm-hmm. As long as you touch it with 1 foot, you can jump off and you're good to go. So that's good.
No 5 burpees at the Atlas carry. Woohoo!
That's nice.
You are not allowed to use... Okay, so I'm short, so this one affects me. You are not allowed to use the vertical truss as a ladder in order to start hanging obstacles. For example, monkey bars. You can, however, use the horizontal truss to start the obstacles, which is kind of what I've always done, though. I've always just, like, jumped onto... Because that horizontal truss that's there right before the monkey bars start is always a little bit lower than where they set the monkey bars. So I always just kind of, like, hop up onto the horizontal truss and then start the monkey bars. So,
right, which you can still do, which is great. Now, they do have, unlike, they do have good stools for starting obstacles.
Yeah.
As opposed to some races, I'm going to talk crap about Sid's great scaffolding, but there were definitely some obstacles at NORAM that would be hard to not grab the vertical scaffolding because the start is just pipe.
Mm-hmm.
So to climb up on a piece of pipe and not have something to balance yourself is tough.
Yeah.
So Spartan, I think it'll be fine because you've got these nice square stools to get on, and they've got the red ones that are taller, and we've even seen where they've got some that are on a little box, so they're even higher for the shorter people. Which guys can use the red ones as well now. Like, that's official. Oh. Like, those are for anybody.
All right. They're not obligated to review third-party video footage.
Well, it's good that they specified that.
I mean, they really aren't. I mean, it's kind of like me running up to one of the refs at an NFL game and be like, but look.
right.
They define standing on top of the Herkoist as a competitor's hips may not rise above the top of the barrier, which kind of sucks because if you have like just really long legs and they just happen to reach above the top. But I think if they're like really clearly blatantly standing on top of the barrier, then they're going to call you out.
I think it's when you're in the act of pulling and putting your feet on the barrier.
Right.
So I think if you're pulling standing up with your feet on the ground, you're probably okay. This is more for like you've got a 1 foot on the barrier and you're yanking on the rope at the same time. That's when you got to make sure that you're, you know, leaning back far enough.
And then they made clarifications. Competitors are not allowed to pre-run the course or engage with the obstacles unless prior approval has been granted by Spartan. So like the open house, those are okay. That's considered approval for areas mentioned.
And I guess people are out there studying and
getting their techniques down
beforehand. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah.
During the flip obstacles, like the tire flips, you must fully disengage. So you have to fully let it go. So like a lot, like I know with a lot of the guys, this affects because the tire was so stinking heavy that a lot of the guys were just able to get it over, up and over, and then kind of sit resting it on top of the foot and then getting it back, flipping it back.
And it's not just that it's heavy, it's the way the sidewall of the tire is fairly flat, so it's hard to get your fingers underneath it.
Right, it's not an actual tire.
So depending on... No, it is.
Well, it is an actual tire, but like it's not like a traditional tire that has like tread.
It's not like the tractor tires that they use in the past.
Right.
That's for sure. So my thought is when I flip it over, I want to be watching where I'm flipping it to, because if there's a divot in the ground, that's where I want to
like
flip it so I can get my
muddy and swampy. Yeah.
Right. Well, that's the toughest part is if it is muddy, what do you do? Like find the driest spot, I guess. I don't know.
Roll it. Can you roll it? Is that allowed?
Go,
can you roll it to a dry area once you get it up? Once you get it halfway up, can you roll it to a dry area? I mean,
yeah, I don't think they have any rules about that part.
And then
all right, let's make sure we do that, and then we'll see more rule changes come.
Exactly. And then they're now letting people use the vertical support on the Z wall. However, you cannot touch the top or bottom of the cutout to your advantage.
So that's finally official, which is funny. So rule changes, fantastic, cool. They're finally actually implementing some of these things that we've been complaining about for a while. Warrior Dash closed, and, you know, everybody's been talking about that. Obviously, that's pretty crazy in itself. Spartan just put out this thing. I think Spartan did. I saw this image saying Spartan.
Was it the one with the t-shirt?
Yes.
Yeah.
Where'd that come from?
So I found that in the Colorado Obstacle Racers group, Facebook group.
Do you know where that, like, what page that's actually from?
It was, like, an email or something.
Yeah, because if you go to Warrior Dash, was it warriordash.com, it takes you to, well, Spartan has a spartan.com/warrior, what is this?
Slash warrior one or something.
spartan.com/en/warrior takes you to their page for that stuff. But warriordash.com takes you to that page too. Looks like some of the Warrior Dash pages are still up, but the main page takes you to the Spartan website.
That's crazy. Yeah, so the picture, it has a Warrior Dash logo. And then it's a picture of a t-shirt, and then it has a little note saying that Spartan is welcoming the Warrior Dash community, and they are committed to the Warrior ethos, so they're basically rallying Warrior Dashers from near and far for a reunion in 2020, sometime next year. And it's
and there's a button to pre-register.
Yeah. And it says the first 1,000 racers who pre-register will receive a free Warrior Dash t-shirt. And yeah, it's just like a Warrior Dash t-shirt with the helmet and everything. And then on the back, it says Warrior on. It says they're finalizing details and there might be a few more surprises along the way. So I'm not really, I don't know, is, I'm so confused. That seems to be the general consensus. Like, where am I registering for this? Where is this event being held even? Like, what is it?
Don't know where it's going to be, but let's pre-register. And
don't know where it's at, but we're going to go. And let's go ahead and pre-register. I don't know if maybe they're trying to garner interest, some kind of interest for like, because you know how a lot of people were saying that Warrior Dash was like their entry-level OCR kind of thing. And like, Spartan has kind of made its name in the OCR world, so I don't know if maybe they're trying to keep Warrior Dash as its own little branch of like entry level stuff. Maybe, I don't know. I mean, it's definitely something I'm gonna keep my eye on because I'm just curious because I'm so confused.
Yeah, but to say there's a reunion is what they're calling it, a reunion Warrior Dash race,
like Warrior Dash. It's its own following or something.
Like
I don't
if
know.
Tough Mudder shut down and then, you know, a couple years later, they said that we're going to do a reunion World's Toughest. That would be awesome.
That would be really awesome. And that would make more sense. But a Warrior Dash reunion. I don't know. I question this.
That was very interesting to see. But who knows what that really means. You might be right. It just might be them gauging interest and seeing what they can do with it.
Yeah.
Man, Warrior Dash closed, Spartan Canada closed, possibly getting, you know, we haven't seen so yet, but maybe they're just getting taken over by Spartan proper instead of being a franchise.
I think maybe they're just trying to be in under one umbrella. All this closing, Spartan's taken over.
Yeah, man. Well, we've just been bought by Spartan, and now this is the,
this is going to be Spartan OCR Talk podcast. Talk. Sponsored by Spartan Up Podcast, and no, not really.
Joke. Oh, man, we just blew a good April Fool's episode.
Oh. Next year. April's a long way off.
Anna, we were supposed to do this episode and talk about great games, and it's time for you to go. And
we
can
totally still record after I'm done watching Patience, but that probably won't be for like another hour.
And then at that point in time, I won't be able to because I'll have kids to take care of.
True.
Well,
so
give us your Grit Games recap in
Grit Games. Grit Games recap. It was a pretty fierce competition, man. So the Grit Games Open, I was one of the judges, and that was super cool because I think that needs to be incorporated into a lot of competitions. It's just a really cool aspect of the Grit Games. If you didn't go this year,
a judge and
I wasn't competing the first day. I competed the second day. So I volunteered to judge the first day for the open competition, which is really cool.
Nice.
So if you didn't do the Grit Games this year, you need to do it next year because it was like amazing and fun and completely taxing and like doing 5 OCRs in one day.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was just a really rough day for everybody, but it was like, it was such an incredible experience because even though it was so hard and so difficult and the challenges were like nothing you've ever done at an OCR, because it challenges every skill set individually. So, you know, each skill set, that's what you're focusing on for that event, like the strength event, the OCR event, the multi-rig, the speed, you're focusing just on that one thing. And it's just like balls to the wall each event. So every
is it a point series across the events?
Yeah. So each event that you compete in, wherever you place, one of their Grit Fitness members came up with this point system that she kind of plugs into her little worksheet, and the algorithm calculates the points and pops out the placements after each event. So it was nice. Like super cool. It was kind of like, you know, going to like a CrossFit competition almost, you know, where you complete an event and you see where you finish.
More OCR geared.
Definitely. It was so much fun. And my team wants to go back next year. So we'll see.
Cool. All right. Well, yeah, depending on when it is.
Yeah. Huge, huge shout out to like Kenny and the whole crew over there. Like super well old and very organized event.
Cool. Tell them to not make it when it's super hot.
It wasn't too bad. At least the rig wasn't in direct sunlight this year for the pro competition, but like it was still pretty hot. But it wasn't terrible, but it was still pretty hot.
Speaking of which, the temperatures at NORAM were near perfect. My God, it was such a great weekend.
Ugh, still so jealous.
All right, you got to go take care of some people.
Yeah. Yep, got to head over to ICU and do my thing.
Okay. Well, thanks for hopping on.
No problem.
We got, I got like 3 weeks before, or 4 weeks until Toughest. So, we have 4 weeks till Toughest. So
yeah.
Get that training in.
I'll try. It's just so hard to breathe.
Well, you're going to come back to this humidity and then...
And die?
Having a hard time with that. So. At least it'll be at night.
So they won't find my body till the morning. Grit Games Recap. It was a pretty fierce competition, man.
Uh-oh.
Huh? Wait. Huh?
Your audio... Wait, hang on. The audio crapped out for a second, and I was like, oh no, seriously, she's just getting into it? No.
No, I really still have, like, scars from the Grit Games. But,
Declan, you want to say hello?
No.
Bye.